Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Poetry with Flavor. This is your host, Miss Lucy. Before I begin, and I hope I don't want to get too personal, but I am not 100% this evening. My energy level is kind of low, and chalking it all up to I'm dealing with a number of health issues. And then my best friend, Mo, for those of you who don't know, that's my 15-year-old Shih Tzu. She's starting to really sleep at least 22 hours a day. I hope she's not giving up. I'll never be ready for her to leave me, but she's 15. The Shih Tzu is one of the oldest, not oldest, one of the few dog breeds that live very long lives, even up to age 25. So I'm hoping she'll make it to 25. But I just wanted you to know my energy is just a little low this evening. And okay, let's get started. Don't forget, respect your elders, meaning me. And if you don't have anything nice to say, anything. Okay. I'm bending over trying to pick up. You are, those who have been listening to me would be very proud of me. I just bent over to pick up this huge, I bought a huge notebook. I put all of my papers, my poetry papers, inside of plastic sheeting. So everything is nice and neat. But I didn't put them in categories, so I'll still be flipping pages tonight. But I'm getting there. And also I've spent a lot of today reading about podcasts, how to do them, specifically the kind of equipment you need. I think I'm going to go forward with it because I do this podcast by holding my cell phone, which is a pain in the neck. And I have to sit kind of close to this outlet because I keep the phone plugged in to make sure the battery doesn't die on me. So it's getting kind of old. So I think I should invest in getting a computer and getting a microphone, and maybe I can do a better presentation. Okay. So what's on my agenda? I don't know. I do know this, that I've decided to go ahead and make a chapbook of my haiku poetry, and it will include, I didn't count, but I guess about 50 haiku poems that I've written. So I think I'll just start with the, of course I've read these before, but I think I'll start our evening with that because, as I said, I'm trying to work on bringing my energy level up. Now, usually, my understanding of haiku, things are changing so rapidly now, and all the rules are out the window, not just social rules, but rules in literature, how to write a sonnet, how to write whatever. Everything is just whatever you put down nowadays. But usually haiku doesn't have they don't have titles to it, but mine will have a title. So this one is, and I say that because I think the writing is supposed to be clear enough that you get the whole picture. Okay. Short, they're short and to the point, so this is roller coaster ride. Ready to descend fear, screams, panic, no way off until the end, much like aging. Definition. Old becomes a dirty word. Invisible. Moldy smell, little old me. Atrophy. Loss of estrogen. Vaginal atrophy. Dried up old prune. Well, I was in a in a mood writing those for dealing with my now position in on the spectrum of aging and what's happening to me. Curfew. Mama said nothing is open after midnight except legs. Get your ass home. Monogamy. And I hope these don't offend some of you. I'm looking at them, and some of them, this is just real. I just call it real and raw. Monogamy. No such thing. Men like old, new, used, strange, different pussy on the regular. Love is a verb, fluid, moving, always changing, does what it wants, goes where it wants, when it wants, disloyal, enjoy it while you can. Aging. Once a man, twice a child. Is that what aging is? Diapers to depends. Jute joint. 10 mayonnaise jars need refilling. Daddy's gone missing. Mama's working. Aimless youth. Well, these don't have tires on them. Slow dancing. Her eyes closed. His eyes wide open. Didn't know love was a verb that could walk away. President. Guns cocked to turn back time. Black ice, said the weatherman. So ice is not transparent. Snow falling, gentle blanket for the grass. Death of black youth by murder, now accepted as natural causes. Cussed her husband, straightened her hat, entered the church service. Kissing in shadows. She's not me. It's over. He hid his wedding ring. Nobody's perfect. Okay. After the rain, sweet smell of grass, a flower unfolds. Now that one is the closest that I've written to a Japanese haiku, which usually they're topics are all on nature. Thunder roars.
piercing lightning mimic my heartache.
Okay. This is called Long Goodbye. Eyelids are heavy. Funeral 3 hours long. My stomach growls. Bathroom cabinet. Makeup, lipstick gone. Replaced by enemas and wrinkle creams galore. Warning. Storm on the horizon. Wedding ring chokes my finger. Divorce warning. Obits, meaning obituaries. Okay. Single. Over 60. Read the obits daily. Seeking my mate. And I had to say something about that one. When I became a single woman, my neighbor used to tell me, you should read the newspaper, read the obituaries, and find out where the funerals are and go to them. So that's where this one came from. Single over 60, read the obits daily, seeking my mate. Okay. Mama called her grown. Dogs don't bark at parked cars. Said I need to rein her in. America's melting pot. Somebody must have turned the pilot light off. Okay. Intensity. You caress a note lovingly. Why not hold me so? Minus accolades. I don't know why that came on. Minus accolades. You continue to carry the load. Equals a mad black woman. Mr. Willie, are you there? I don't know why those announcements are coming through. I don't know. Is there anybody out there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know why they're making those announcements about 20 seconds, 60 seconds. I have no idea. So if we get cut off, I don't know what to say. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Cold? Yeah, I can hear
you. Can
you
hear me, Lucy?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Why are my hips called an ass and Kim K's are called cupcakes? He drowned himself in scotch and soda to mask his dirty doings. Tuskegee syphilis experiment, and yet we pledge allegiance. Black man, most hated, most envied, most wanted, most killed. Henrietta Lacks, living cells, cured millions, yet few know her name. Okay. Let me see. It held secrets of family, death, and recipes. mama's apron. Perched majestically, the branch above, a crow targets my car. Exhausting task, the same 13 steps, suddenly senior. I'm glad I don't have any steps in my house now. Thank God. I wouldn't be able to make it up one. Okay. Okay. I think that's I'll stop there with the haiku, and we'll move on to let me turn the page. Okay. I think I need these two. Go ahead.
I see why, poetry was sort of tonight. I read this article earlier today about black women, professional women, and women with their children, and how they're moving out of this country. They're moving to South America. They're moving to Mexico. They're moving to Africa, and they are saying that this country does not appreciate them. And I was listening to you and allowing my mind to sort of wonder and how we, the black man, growing up, we saw you guys, you women, as a sex object. And that was how we defined you. And, we have to accept responsibility for what we've done and how we treated our women as well. Because the idea, whenever I first started reading the article, it was, the society... The white society is what is the problem, but that's not necessarily true. Whenever I sit down and I was reflecting over your poetry here tonight, I mean, it's sad, but it's true. And that, I'm talking about professional women who are making in the six figures, as well as women who are just getting by. And they say that they are tired of being marginalized and unrecognized. And go ahead.
You're right in what you're saying. It's just so many layers to it. And one glaring layer is the fact that many of our black men go outside of the race. And when you compare the two, black women, black men, even though both are going outside the race, but in numbers, black women have stayed loyal, stayed home, waiting, hoping, pleading, whatever. And our men are continually going out to other races. So that's one of the layers that has made it difficult for black women. And then historically, how black women were treated in slavery and separated from their mates, separated from the children, physically, sexually abused, So I mean, it's just it's like an onion. It's so much to it. It's just like peeling an onion to get to the bottom of it. To move us forward, but I agree with you, Mr. Wilder. Okay, Mr. Willie, right before the podcast came on, CBS had a thing on Carter G. Woodson. And I had just talked to you about Carter G. Woodson. And so they had something happening in Chicago where they're honoring him or what. I couldn't hear all of it because it was about time for the podcast. But I wanted to mention that, and maybe you can find it on the Internet. Okay.
All right.
Okay. These next two poems, I think I read them for the first time the last time we were on the air, but I'll just, okay. Genocide. Hip-hop's misogynistic, vulgar renderings, loud, repugnant, relentlessly, fill the airwaves, killing the children. And all I could think of was Nick Cannon. I think he's finally off the air with that stupid show, Wild and Out. I'm not sure. But Baltimore Directory. Now, this was written many, many years ago, but it's so sad to hear from other people in the present that Baltimore seems to be going downhill even further. And anyway, Baltimore Directory. When looking for my house, look for the landmarks. Just follow the trail of overflowing trash cans and blue plastic bags flying like balloons or hanging on the branches like leaves. Just past the second pile of eviction trash, the pile with the Beyonce poster, make a right, go two more blocks, and then park by Big Bill's Liquors, right next to the Amen Church of God. If Big Bill's lot is full, because it usually is, park on the other side of the church in the New York Fried Chicken lot. Okay. Just a child. You made me wear red box. Oh, let me explain red box stockings. I don't know if I did this one before or not. But back in the day, they had one, maybe two colors of makeup for black women. One, maybe two shades of stockings for our legs. And you know we come in every color of the rainbow. But anyway, it's my sixth grade graduation, my first time. That's when I graduated, I got to wear stockings. And I'm telling you that my legs look like a pumpkin. But anyway, okay. You made me wear red fox stockings, turn my skinny sixth grade legs as orange as a jack-o'-lantern's head. I didn't understand the sneers and mockings. I was just a child. You made me make a secret about my love of the color red, because if black gals wore it, they were called whores, and I was just a child. You made me know in no uncertain terms that white kids were better, as if I had some contagious germs, and I was just a child. You made me hate my hair and nose and lips, as every year your white Santa never brought a doll to look like me. My beauty was never in his thoughts. You made me feel dumb with your school books that lied and tried to say my people gave nothing to this world and will achieve even less. And I was just a child. You made me use lemons in abundance and bleaching creams to try and change my black Sundance skin to damn near white, and I was just a child. Excuse me. You made me eat watermelon at the kitchen table when everyone knows it's much more fun to eat outside and see who can spit the seeds the furthest. So inside my house, frightened as a little mouse, that you might see me and call me watermelon head, I placed the seeds in the trash can, and I was just a child. You made me miss my childhood, laden with the burden of your fears, as if your terrible confusion could stop me from becoming who I am, a woman, black, beautiful, and strong, who will not let you do to another precious black child your ugly wrongs. Okay, let's see. Hold on. Now, I rarely say what poems I like or dislike that I wrote, but I distinctly remember when I wrote this, and when I finished writing it, I liked it. It gave me a clarity about where I was physically in life. Again, I'm talking about age. It's called Banana Bread. I respect spotted bananas and green peppers, bruised peaches and pears. I no longer gag when I see wilted lettuce, touch soft cucumbers or squishy tomatoes. I won't throw them out anymore. Now I make banana bread and take time to look for the good parts that are left. Then I smile and savor their flavors made rich by age. I no longer step on fragile leaves, changing from lush to limp to dust. I won't rape them with a rake. I admire their multicolors that make me take notice of life. I'm in awe that in winter shadow they continue to give pleasure and to make memories to let me know there's purpose and beauty even in the end of things. Okay. I'm turning pages. But it is so nice to turn the, see, before I was flipping pages. Folks, you don't know, this big notebook, I'm so tickled with it. All the pages in nice plastic sheets. Anyway, okay, let's see. Okay. Let me see. Lead singer, Miss Della Beulah Roberts, was the lead singer of the Bible Way Church of Reformed Sinners. The congregation could hardly contain themselves on Sunday morning when it came time for Miss Della to sing. Did I say sing? A correction is needed here because Miss Della didn't just sing. She sang. When she opened her mouth, a chorus of angels came out of her throat. Her praise song had the church on their feet, holy dancing, clapping, and prancing in the aisles. Soon to follow were shouts of hallelujah, sweet Jesus, and amen, reaching a feverish pitch. So passionate was her singing, it left the congregation spent and overcome with the Holy Spirit. Some were on the floor. some speaking in tongues, and some shed tears of joy. It's amazing how the Lord can change you, give you strength and encouragement to walk the right path at your own pace. Because last night, Miss Della was the headliner at the Roundaway Lounge, throwing back shots and belting out songs like Bessie Smith at the Savoy. Amen. Okay. Ode to the Chitlins, you see. You know, and I know I've said it before, I was the only one who didn't eat soul food. I mean, I just didn't eat it. And while everybody was chowing down on soul food, I'd have a bowl of cereal. But anyway, can't wash the dishes. The unholy gray mass is quietly soaking in the sink. Like the calm before the storm of boiling water that will unleash their hard secret. They're seasoned with salt and pepper and vinegar and placed on the stovetop. Their odor rises with the steam. Lifting the top of the boiling pot, the aroma floats in every direction, out the kitchen window and onto the street, knocking on every neighbor's door, drifting throughout the house, sneaking around the corner, through the living room and up the stairs and, oh my God, to my room. I'd run ahead of its trail to close closet doors and to cover my clothes, my shoes, my everything, to protect them from getting that telltale day after scent that lets everyone you know and those you don't know just what you had for dinner last night. There's no delicate way to say it. Chitlins downright stink. Those ugly gray brown pink things, those swarmy, swiggly, wriggly things, who would ever think that they could please a palate? And Daddy swears I'm not his child if I don't fix a plate as he doctors his portion with red hot sauce. But chitlins will not bring a smile to these downturned lips, no matter how much collard greens and potato salad and cornbread on the side. I just don't get it. What is the attraction? Especially when you know it passes down the winding and twisting canal, but everyone seems to enjoy them. They eat and eat and eat and tell jokes about the meat. How Miss Wallace's chitlins ain't good because she don't clean them right. And how Miss Jefferson served some pregnant chitlins and folks got sick. And they continue to talk and eat and compliment the cook, saying these is sure some mouth-watering, lip-smacking, kiss your mama, thank you, good-eating chitlins. I just don't see the appeal. And I find it a rather distasteful meal. Okay. Let's see. This is, let me see. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change the title on this poem. The title is Going Over to Miss Ann's House for Christmas Dinner. I'm going to change it to just dinner so I can read it at any time. But since we're talking about food, let's go to Miss Ann's house. Okay. Going over to Miss Ann's house for dinner is like exiting the world and entering nirvana, where joy, peace, and love is all around. The burdens and the worries just fall off your shoulders and disappear as a calm and peace come over you. You feel loved and loved. This must be what heaven is like. Mr. Clarence, Miss Anne's honeydew, greeted each and every visitor with a hug, handshake, and a smile. That was the best. He made sure no one was a stranger, introducing and seating each guest before he made his his rounds, checking on the rest. Mr. Clarence joined in conversations, adding his jokes and telling stories to keep the mood lively, weaving his way through the living room, dining room, and kitchen, ensuring no one was left out, making certain that fellowship was flourishing. He was adept with people, as Miss Anne was with pots and pans.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, I had to take it out the plastic so I can turn the page. Sorry. Okay. Sorry about that.
Throughout the evening, I never saw Miss Anne sit or get a plate. She continued cooking with every burner on the stove occupied by a pot or frying pan, making certain there would be enough to eat for those who dropped by or arrived late. Miss Anne is sweet, saved, and sanctified, and she shown us to cook. She set a sumptuous fare. There was so much food, you couldn't see the table. The hypnotic aromas of sweet potatoes, ham, turkey, fried chicken, mac and cheese, fried okra, and the like filled the air. A house full of friends, relatives, and neighbors converse and cajole. Absent was gossip and eye rolling and complaining. And as everyone is talking at once, Miss Anne's love turns everything in the family. Then one by one, the talking ceases. Mr. Clarence gathers all to bless the food. The silence continues while a line forms for the buffet and plates are filled. Wait a minute. To overflow. The silence gets noticeably louder as the gathering begins to eat, only to be broken intermittently with audible sounds of satisfaction. Could be heard. Someone else follows with, "Miss Anne can burn the house down." And still another interjects, "Miss Anne put her foot in this meal." Everyone laughs, followed by silence as they continue to feed their faces. Yes, indeed, the meal was enjoyed by everyone. There wasn't any KFC, Stouffer's, or Bojangles heated up and disguised by being placed in a china dish. There were no requests for condiments like ketchup, salt, pepper, or hot sauce. None was needed. The meal was seasoned to perfection. This was, This was real food, and it was appreciated as seconds were had by everyone. There was no shame either for getting a third plate covered in foil to take home. As everyone prepared to leave, it was clear that spirits were lifted, stomachs were full, and souls were reassured and satisfied. Time to take off the shoes and take a nap. Thank you, Miss Anne and Mr. Clarence. Now, let me tell you, I'm changing the title. I'm going to take Christmas out of the title. But I'm telling you, I wrote this after getting home from that dinner. I was so, I was going to say hyped up. My spirits were soaring. My stomach was poked out. I was so happy, and I sat down and wrote it. that was the most enjoyable dinner I ever had. Okay. Let's see. What time is it, somebody?
It's 7:40.
7:40, okay.
Uh-huh, 7:40.
Okay, let's see. I'm just looking for what to read. Hold on. Okay. I just turned to this poem about childhood, but right away a news article came to mind. Did any of you read about these teenagers? They caught three of them that were standing on an overbridge on I-95, throwing huge rocks down on cars. Did anybody else see that or hear that on the news? Anyway, our kids are so out of control and lost. And I blame that on the parents and the internet. Let's see. Let me do Crazy Miss Lucy. Crazy Miss Lucy. She sat gap-legged on the front porch, her knees as far apart as the width of a Mississippi. Her support hose cascaded like a waterfall around her thin frame and fragile ankles. Once perfectly coiffed hair was now a tangle of gray-white tresses that at times looked like a Jesus halo. For some 80-odd years, she had studied and mastered life, the ups and downs of life. Each day, she patiently waited on her tattered, padded chair for a wave to turn into a pause. But her pleated brow, toothless grin, and constant mumblings hid her wisdom from youthful passers-by who snickered and called her Miss Lucy.
I like that, too.
Girl, that's what, look, that last line in there, that's her pleated brow and toothless grin. That's me. That's where I am. Okay. Feet. Been standing all day. Feet throbbing with pain. Swollen. Days through for the day. Maybe a soaking will ease it away. Heels looking like peeled potatoes. Skins crusty enough to bake a pie. Corns lined up side by side. Hurts so bad I just want to die. But got a party tonight. John Taylor singing the blues. Well, let me get the butter out so as I can slide on them pretty new shoes. Let me see. Low tide. Okay. This poem has so many different meanings to me, but what just flashed in my mind when I turned to the page for the poem Slow Tide is that how finally the black woman's beauty is being shown everywhere and claimed by us. You know, it's such a pleasure to see that. Because we've tried in so many ways to deform our own bodies, to wrap them up, to bleach them out, whatever, to fit in, when we realize we're the true beauty queens. So, okay, slow time. Unaware of her majesty, wrapped in mahogany shine, she traps the beauty of her blackness in a girdle tightly bound, ringing through her head as she struggled with her ampleness, a familiar childhood rhyme. Put on your girdle, baby, one, two, three. Put on your girdle, baby, one, two, three. She remembered wriggling and twisting of her then little behind. But nature would not be tame now. And so she put the girdle aside. As she stepped out for the day, she walked carefully to keep the roll and rumble to a slow tide. On the street where she traveled, brothers were standing on all four corners. And as she passed by their sight, pocket pool was played and elbows touched, and someone remarked and all agreed, "Turn that butter, girl." Her slow tide gave way to a big smile. Okay. I'll do, this is short. Willie Smith, and I know I've done this before, Willie Smith was an African-American designer, but he lived in Paris. He was all the rage in Europe. Now, the reason I wrote this about him and the reason I liked him was because he used his sister, Tukey Smith, for a model rather than using stick-thin white women as a model. He used his sister for her voluptuous body, her beautiful hips. So this is short. Sunday's rump roast. Ample, round, substantial, cushioned, fat fatty, wide ride. Willie Smith understood African hips, designing skirts and pants that flattered and fit, thunder buns, wide track, black booty, fat back. Yeah, Willie appreciated African hips, savored them like Sunday's rump roast. Okay. Somebody tell me how much time. How much time?
It's 7:49.
Okay. Let's see.
Now, if you need to save your voice, but you haven't been caught, so, I mean, yeah,
I know.
You need to save your voice.
I think it's from, you know, there's pollen out here already.
I heard the meteorologist say that.
That's
what he said.
And the wind was just blowing out there in the backyard.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yep.
Let me see. I'm sorry. Let me see. It's Golar Hall.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, you know, Golar Hall my mother told me it was exactly the same when mom and daddy came down there to visit. Because it said that same light bulb was hanging by a cord.
Oh, my goodness.
You remember the lights didn't have, some may have, but I believe the majority did. We just had light bulbs. I know
that's
the one
right.
in my room, it hung down, you know, on a cord.
That's right.
It was just a big old light bulb.
Uh-huh.
If you
sure
go
was.
In some of these colleges now, those kids don't know. They complaining. They living in luxury.
They living. They just don't know.
Yeah.
And I remember the dresser drawers. I remember when I first got there, mine was broken and just. But that's
well, I didn't even have none. I lived out of my trunk. But my trunk was a good ironing board, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we had to iron our coat? Good ironing board.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure
made
do.
Good toast with that iron, too. You ever make toast with the iron?
No.
This is a good old day, Chuck.
They sure were the good old days.
I'm still flipping. Let me see. Let me see. Come on now. Like I said, I did put all my things in this big old nice notebook and plastic covers on them, but they aren't in any order according to, you know, like subject, topic, or anything. So.
Uh-huh.
Okay, since we're talking about business, let me do this once upon a time. Like moths to a flame and flies to honey, men circled around her wherever she went. Reason for the attraction, too tight and too short dresses that showed all her private business. The hoe shoes she wears, the red ones, 5 inches high, made her calf muscles sit up and butt stick out, and her breasts point east and west. Grandma called her a heifer, and Auntie chimed in with hussy. And me, I just excused myself. And go to the back of my closet and pull out my old leather miniskirt and my old 1970s favorite pair of leopard print shoes. I just smile and remember once upon a time. Yeah, them days are gone.
They sure are.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Let me do Crown and Glory. You know, every time I go into Walmart, I mean, the hairstyles that we're wearing are so unique and so pretty. You know, the braids in every style, the coils in every style. I just love it. But this was before we recognized that, our crowning glory. We fried it, dyed it, plastered it, added extensions to it, wigged it, sewn and weaved it. We've done everything but freed it. We've waved it. My throat is like I hit a dry spot. We've waved it, crinkled it, crunched it, creamed it, straightened it, smoothed it, sparkled it, sprayed it. We've mashed it, moosed it, glued it, gelled it, greased it, teased it into believing it's what it's not. We've done everything but been pleased with it. So I'm glad that's in the past because we're looking good out there now and proud with our crowns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
Can I say something about, if I could, along with putting Nick Cannon off of TV, I would get those housewives off of the TV. I don't watch it, but you see the commercials for them or whatever. And look, number one, every last one of them spent $50 million on them wigs. I mean, what kind of image is that you're giving to your young
That's
girls,
right.
you know,
That's
that you're not pretty unless you've got these
it.
Wigs on?
Why?
You know.
Right.
And then and what's the other part of their story, that they all chasing after some man or something? You know, I just can't stand. I don't like those shows. I wish they'd get rid of what they call it, reality TV. Plus, these are old women now. Those are old women, aren't they? I mean, they're
sure
menopausal
are.
Women. They're in their 50s. I don't understand it. And where do they get the image that they're giving to the young girls?
Right.
The fake hair of all this 10 gallons of makeup, all of this, it looks very expensive jewelry, and they're all wearing these, I don't know what you would call them, those glamorous dresses. You know what I'm saying? What image are you putting forth for the young girls? That's all I'm saying. I don't agree with them. I think they need to go, along with Nick Cannon. Just get off the TV. Okay. All righty. Let me do I'll end with the... we're almost at the... Okay, I'll do this. Affirmative action. This isn't a poem. This isn't a screen. It's a 10-second warning. No more running for cover. This is a call to arms. Black arms united, united by our yoke, united by our blood. This is a scream, a wake-up call. We can't afford no more dreams. I thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed it, and eventually I'll get to some newer stuff. And we'll see you March, whatever, second Monday in March. March is next week, isn't it?
I know, it sure is.
We enjoyed the poetry, Lucy. We enjoyed it.
I appreciate you tuning in. I really do. Okay, guys.
We enjoyed it.
Have a good night.
Have one, too. Okay. Love you.
Thanks.
Love you, too. Okay, take care.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.